In the provincial budget last April, then Finance Minister Stan Struthers announced it will eliminate school taxes paid by seniors on their principal residences by 2015. The promise will put a $50 million dent in the provincial coffers. Much of this benefit will go to wealthier seniors, while those most in need, including people on EIA, will benefit little from the recent budget changes. Joining us in the studio is Pete Hudson, a senior scholar at the Faculty of Social Work at the University of Manitoba. Thanks for coming, Pete.
You're welcome, Josh. Good evening.
So this benefit will cost $50 million to the province of Manitoba. Who stands to benefit most from the province's decision to eliminate the education property taxes for seniors?
Like most across the board tax rebates or forgivenesses or foregone taxes, the benefits tend to go to those who need it least. I think we should consider, for example, here three groups of seniors. One group is a group who, the more affluent amongst the senior citizen population, and by virtue of likely, therefore, having the larger homes, currently paying the biggest educational property tax, because that's assessed on the assessed value of your house. That's the group that are going to get the lion's share of the benefit that has come down in budget 2013. There is another group which are in much more impoverished than the first group, but that group, with a household income of less than $40,000, already not only get the $700 tax credit that everybody gets, rich or poor, young or old, they also qualify for an additional $400 for then a total of $1,100. For many of those living in more modest houses, paying less educational property tax already, the immediate benefit will be either nil or not at all. That group, by the way, includes renters, which is 30% of the senior population, who aren't eligible for the educational property tax credit or the total rebate that's proposed in 2013. There is a third group who may be in need, but it certainly would be the smallest of all three. And that group are a group with very modest incomes, but they may be house rich. They're in a house that was once according to their means, and now they're having difficulty paying the taxes and maintenance and so on those houses. They also may live in a school division which has a higher mill rate, a higher property tax rate. That's the smallest group of all. There's likely all kinds of creative ways that their impecuniousness can be dealt with, such as a provincially sponsored reverse mortgage plan, for example, that the private sector does at the moment and offers for some people. But as they do it very, very expensively, I think the province could do it a better job.
So why do you think the government is implementing this tax change at this time?
I think there are a number of reasons. The first one is that we really should consider the context of the current mindset of the political economy, with the ascendancy of the neoconservative ideology of small government, low taxes, and so on. There's two central pieces of the ideology that go with that. One is that the chant, the nonsense chant, the mindless chant that all taxes are bad. I mean, that's just mindless. All taxes aren't bad. It's a very efficient way to pay for a lot of goods and services, including education, post-secondary education, healthcare, like you name it. The second part that's a companion to that is that any increase in program expenditures, no matter how justified and how many people would be in need of program expenditures, that's anathema too. So you've got a double-edged whammy here in the current prevailing ideology. One is you can't raise taxes. In fact, what you do is cut them. They've been cut enormously in this province, firstly with the Filmon government and even under our new democratic government that's supposed to be a spend and tax. So shouldn't you increase taxes, you've got to decrease them and cut them across the board, just like they have just done for all seniors with the educational property tax. And then the second thing is you can't raise program expenditures. So people, for example, on employment income assistance, a.k.a. welfare, that's the posh term for what most people call welfare, who are really, really in a seriously needy group of the population, got nothing out of budget 2013 at all.
So what priorities should the government be focusing on instead with the $50 million?
Well, I think there are a whole host of priorities, but the one that I identified was the need to increase benefits for people unfortunate enough to be on employment income assistance, particularly those disabled, single parents attempting to escape from abusive relationships. They are basically pushed way, way below the poverty line by the rather meanness, the meanness of the current rate structure.
In a recent op-ed that you wrote on this topic, you made a distinction between the deserving poor and the undeserving poor, and that the governments often try to play games dividing different groups of poor people. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I don't know if that was conscious or not, but in addition to the sort of mindless taxes are bad and let's not increase expenditures, you've got this other thing that goes all the way back to the Elizabethan poor law in the 16th century, which is distinguishing between the deserving poor and the undeserving poor. The deserving poor in this case would be the senior citizens. Actually, that's a bit of a myth. They might become poor in the near future if Harper's beating up on public pensions and cutting and not upgrading Canada Pension Plan, Old Age Security. But at the moment, most senior citizens aren't in fact poor. Senior citizens don't come out all that well. About 80% of those are earning less than $40,000 a year. But that's only 30% of the population. The rest aren't that badly off at all. Most own their own homes. They gave nearly $100 million into charity. 91% of them gave nearly $100 million to charity a few years ago. Most of them have not just public pensions, but also private pensions and investment income. So there's a myth that at the moment of all these impoverished seniors.
So the measure was announced in the 2013 budget. Is it too late for the government to change its decision?
Can the government do anything about it? Can they reverse it now? Well, yeah, sure they could. I think it would be very difficult to persuade them because they've already promised it in the budget, right? Yes, they could. But I don't know what sort of face saver I would want to offer them. All I'm saying is that maybe they, even though it may be difficult, they should. And that's all I can say. Whatever the circumstances, it's really time to do the right thing. And never mind about, a property tax rebate to all seniors, which, by the way, is part of the pressure that has been put on this government to take the education tax off property altogether. And this is like a first step. Well, all right, are those people who are promoting that going to agree to another 1% on the provincial sales tax? The money's got to come from somewhere.
Well, thanks so much for speaking with us today on this. I've been speaking with Pete Hudson, senior scholar at the Faculty of Social Work at the University of Manitoba. You're listening to Mud and Water on CKUW 95.9 FM.